the Financial Sense Lifetime Income Program. Here's your host, Jim Poplava.
Well, this year, a new tax bill was enacted and went into law. It's affected corporate earnings, which is why they've been so robust. But many of you, as taxpayers living in high-tax states, could be in for a shock when it comes to filing your tax returns next April. Joining me on the program is Chris Hennessy from Putnam Investments. And Chris, I want to talk about some of the general provisions that affect individuals, and in particular, how this is going to impact people like myself and others that live in high tax states like California, New York, New Jersey, and also states that have a high cost of living where the cost of housing is high like it is in California. So let's begin with that. Something that really struck me is they fiddled around with the tax rates. Originally, it was going to be on a postcard. It was going to be simple. But we ended up in the reconciliation bill, we were going to have 35% tax rate being the top, and then they boosted it up to 37. So tell us what happened to tax rates.
So this whole thing became a balancing act in the context that, as you mentioned, Jim, they did this through a process called reconciliation, which means the Republicans connected the legislation to the budget. So they had a number, a target number of actually $1.5 trillion cost over 10 years that they had to stay within. So they had to kind of balance off some of the stuff that would raise revenue and some of the things that would actually decrease revenue. And you mentioned one, which is this, it's actually referred to as SALT, S-A-L-T, but SALT means state and local tax deduction. So unlike calendar year 2017, where you live in California and or a high tax state, obviously you mentioned New York, New Jersey, Hawaii, Oregon, Minnesota, and you could deduct all of your real estate taxes on a first and second home and all your state income taxes. In 2018, this current year, that it will not be the case. You will be capped when you add those items up at $10,000. So clearly this has a negative impact on the so-called blue states. Actually, and it's interesting, Jim, too, politically, because everyone blamed President Trump because the blue states didn't vote for him. He didn't drive this $10,000 thing. It was driven by a guy named Kevin Brady, chair of House Ways and Means, and he wanted the cap to be zero. He wouldn't give you a dime. And when it went over to Orrin Hatch, who's the Senate Finance Committee, Orrin Hatch said, no, we'll do 10,000. And they settled on 10. So that's what's actually happened.
You know, this was billed as a tax bill for the rich. But when I take a look at Chris, they took away personal exemptions. So, you know, for a family of four, you know, that's over $20,000 alone. Then on top of that, they capped property taxes at 10,000, which in California is next to nothing. Then they took away state tax deductions. Then they took away miscellaneous deductions. So if you live in a state like New York, New Jersey, and many of the states you mentioned, could you possibly be facing an income tax increase when you file next year?
You could, but let me mention some offsets, some things that could help you. One, to go back to exemptions, and you are absolutely correct, Jim. 2017 and previous years, you got a $4,050 exemption for yourself, your spouse, and your children. You got 10 kids, that's $40,000, right, as a deduction. Now that's gone, but it was replaced with a child tax credit, which actually was in the law, but it was $1,000, and most people didn't get it because it phased out if their income was over like $110,000. Well, that credit is now $2,000 per child, as long as the child is under the age of 17. And it doesn't phase out until your income is $400,000 or more. So in a way, I think a lot of people are going to be surprised that the credit is even going to be better than the exemption deduction. Now, the second item, of course, is this $10,000 SALT. But, and it's a little complicated, but many, many people in California and these other high income tax states are in something called the alternative minimum tax. And once you're in that tax, you don't get to deduct real estate taxes and state income taxes anyway. Well, interestingly, the impact of this tax will go down dramatically in 2018. So while you might have paid an alternative minimum tax in 2017, you may not pay any in 2018. I'll give you the raw data on this. 5 million Americans last year, 2017, will pay this alternative minimum tax. This year in the entire country, 200,000 Americans. So if I live in California and I had AMT in 2017, I may not have it in 2018, which is going to help me to offset the loss of or the cap of $10,000 on my state and local taxes. So those are a couple of good things.
All right, let's talk about the tax rates because, you know, originally they were talking about three tax rates. It would be very simple. Instead, it looks like we've got, what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7 tax rates. What about the brackets at which they set those rates? Is there any break there?
The big thing I think on the brackets, I make 2 points. One, the top marginal rate was 39.6. It's now 37%. But to get to 37%, you got to be over $600,000 of income. That number used to be $470,000. This is a married return. So the threshold amount went up and the marginal rate came down, which is generally what you want to see happen.
Let me throw something out because a lot of our listeners, Chris, are retired. The standard deduction for a married couple is, what is it, $24,000? So if you add $24,000 to $77,000, my goodness, you can make $100,000 and stay in the 12% tax bracket.
Exactly right. Exactly right. Yeah, because everyone's going to get that $24,000 amount unless their itemized deductions are higher than that. And, you know, a lot of retirees, they really only have two itemized deductions. They have charity and they have the $10,000 cap amount we talked about earlier. So another thing they can do, you know, let's take a couple. I mean, they're a very generous couple and they give $10,000 to get a charity. And the only other deduction they have is this $10,000 SALT amount that we talked about. So that's 20. Well, they're going to deduct 24. So they're kind of wasting their charity. So you know what they could do? They could try to time their charity. So for example, maybe this year, 2018, they give zero to charity. And then in 2019, they double up and they give 20,000 to charity. Plus they get their $10,000 amount. That's 30. So they're going to take the 30 and not the 24. So they're $6,000 ahead. Then the following year, they get back to zero. It's just timing it. But you're absolutely right. The 24 is kind of it's a freebie, if you will, and it's double what it was the previous year in 2017.
You know, I see almost a bifurcation when it comes to this tax bill, Chris, and one of them we just talked about. If you are retired, and a lot of my retired clients, you know, have downsized the home, they don't have a mortgage anymore. So if you take this $77,000 and you add $24,000 to it, goodness, they can make $100,000 and stay in a 12% tax bracket. So they're going to be okay. But let's take Larry Lotsabucks, and he lives in California. Larry lives in a McMansion in Beverly Hills. He makes good money. He makes $1 million. So in California, he gets hit with 13.3%. His home is worth $3 or $4 million. So he's got maybe $30,000-$40,000 of property taxes. He probably pays over $100,000 in state taxes. What happens to Larry Lotsabucks?
Yeah, someone like that. I mean, even though the marginal rate for that person went down, Larry Lotsabucks by almost 3%, 37% versus 39.6%. The property taxes and the state income taxes are going to hurt because they can't be fully deductible. But what Larry can do is he can look at some strategies, and this is something obviously you would help your clients with, such as municipal bonds. So the name of the game is, I don't want to have a lot of income that's going to be taxed to California at 13.3%, at least in this example, because I, in effect, cannot deduct that on my federal return anymore. So maybe one way to minimize my California income is California municipals. Another way would be if you looked at someone's portfolio, not their retirement account, but their regular portfolio, and it's generating a lot of dividend income that, again, is being taxed to California. Maybe you want more growth. If they don't need cash flow and less dividend income. But probably on balance, someone like that is going to be hurt because, you know, if they've got 30 to 40 in property taxes, real estate taxes, and $100,000 in California taxes, but they can only deduct 10, that's where they're going to get hurt.
You know, it's interesting, Chris, because if you talk about the provisions of this bill, number one, they cap property taxes at $10,000, which hurts a lot of people. I mean, the median price home in San Francisco, where you're at today, is about $1.4 million. And that's a small home. That's not a McMansion. Then you talk about limiting the interest deduction to $750,000 mortgage. Then you talk about doing away with state taxes and a lot of the things that were in SALT. I just read a statistic. California, as a result, the real estate agents are telling me some of their clients, especially in areas like Rancho, Santa Fe, Beverly Hills, were in, and even in Silicon Valley, where the homes are expensive, people make a lot of money, a lot of those people are leaving.
Yes. In fact, I'll tell you an interesting story. I did a dinner meeting. I've been here all week on the West Coast, and I did a dinner meeting down in Silicon Valley on Wednesday night. And this was a meeting for clients, the clients of a financial advisor. And a gentleman was there, and I've known him. He's come to some of my previous talks, and he was talking about this. He and his wife live in Silicon Valley area, very expensive property, and they've had it. They've had it. So they're going to buy a place in Florida, and they're going to split the year. They're going to establish residency in Florida, which is basically a 183-day test, although there's a lot more you have to do. And then they're going to spend 183 days there and the rest of the time here. For exactly the reason you mentioned. The other thing that's happening is there are business owners. If their business is mobile, in other words, easily movable, they are moving. They're going to Nevada, Reno in particular, and they're going to Texas. Austin, Texas is booming. So yeah, that's, I mean, at the end of the day, that's the solution is domicile, but you know, I ask people that here in California, and they tell me, oh, yeah, we know we pay a lot in taxes, but the weather, we're paying a tax for the weather. So there you go.
Yeah, I know. One of our clients, he's getting ready to retire, and he's looking at Arizona, Nevada, and Texas. But he spends a lot of time at the marina. He's a sailor like myself. And I say, where else are you going to go where you have perfect weather? Do you know, Chris, out of the top 10 places to live in the world, San Diego is number one because of the weather. So you're right, you pay for it. But you know, the other interesting thing that I went up to Lake Tahoe this summer for a vacation, and we were looking around in Reno, and I was talking to the real estate agents there, and they said they have an economic boom going. You just had Tesla move there. You had Google just bought 1,300 acres, and they said Californians, the Reno people are complaining because the Californians are crossing the border into Reno and driving up the prices.
Right. Yep. That's going to happen too.
So
obviously supply demand.
Yeah. I want to talk about something else in this tax bill. Sure. All of these things are great right now for, as we just mentioned, depending on where your bracket is. If you're Larry, lots of bucks in California, maybe not so good. If you're the average retired couple, you know, this is good news. But Chris, this law gets sunsetted. It means, you know, 10 years from now, all this good stuff goes away and the bad stuff remains.
Yeah. So what happens with the sunset is, there's a reason they did it. But anyway, the end of 2025, most of this law sunsets, meaning it goes away. Now, interestingly, that could happen sooner if our politics or I should say our political parties change, particularly the next presidential election, because if the Democrats came back into power, they can undo any of this. But what will happen will be in 2026, we're going to have a tax increase. And that's because when it sunsets, we go back to where we were last year, meaning calendar year 2017, which is a tax increase because the rates are higher, right? But we do get back, the $10,000 thing goes away, so we go back to normalization there. But there's some other good things like the child tax credit will also go away. So I think, you know, I think it's interesting. You know what? We're going to have a tax increase anyway. As you well know, the Wall Street Journal this week reported that the federal deficit was $779 billion for the calendar year ending September 30th of this year. And the projection is that the year we're in, the current year, it'll be a trillion. So somehow we're going to have to pick up more revenue. But you're absolutely right. You know, the way I explain it to people is you have a planning window now between, well, we're almost done with 2018, but between 2018 and 2025, that's your planning window under this current law.
I want to talk about something else that, and let's stay with Larry Lots of Bucks. The exemption on estates was lifted to over $11 million. So if you take a married couple with the living trust, they can double that to, let's round it off, to $22 million. Now, let's say Larry Lots of Bucks has a very successful business. It's worth a lot of money. He'd like to leave it to his kids. So under this tax bill, most Americans will not face estate taxes. You're only talking about a small minority now when you have the exemption that big. But that also goes away. What are the planning opportunities? Would Larry Lots of Bucks be smart to set up an irrevocable trust, stick $11 million in that trust when this thing goes away and sunsets? Because this reminds me, Chris, you remember this, in the year 2010 when the Bush tax cuts sunsetted, we had a year we didn't know what the heck were going to be the exemptions or the estate tax rates.
Right. Yes. Absolutely, Larry Lots of Bucks would be smart to do that. You know, a lot of people with that type of wealth have probably already set up a trust and maybe put $5 million into it, because that was the old number. And now they can do another $6 million to bring them up to $11 million. And that's smart for a few reasons. One, you're going to get the $6 million out of your estate. But more importantly, you're going to get the growth on the value of that $6 million from now until the time you die out of your estate. And your spouse could do the same thing. So that is smart, because that number is going to come down in 2026. So I think about 6 million. I could be off on that, but I think about 6. Now, there is one other thing that comes up with people like Larry Lots of Bucks. They say, oh, this is wonderful. You know, I can make these gifts. But you know what? What if the estate tax federal level was ever repealed? Well, maybe I wouldn't have done that big gift. Maybe I would have kept the money. So people ask me the question, is there any way I can do a big gift like this and still get the money back? And the flat answer is no, but there are some advanced techniques where you can have indirect control over that money through a trustee, or even through your spouse could be trustee, and in effect get it back. But yeah, you got this window where you should be taking advantage of that exemption amount.
You know, the one thing that, I forget who said it, that's the certainty is death and taxes. And the one thing that I can tell our listeners is the one certainty is tax laws are going to change in the future, because anytime we have a change in political parties, but more importantly, Chris, you hit upon something the Wall Street Journal is talking about. We are going to have almost a $1 trillion deficit next fiscal year, which began this October. And this is when the economy is growing at 3.5% and 4%. What the heck happens to the deficit if we go into a recession, especially with the Fed raising interest rates?
Yeah, that's the problem. I mean, I think, well, first of all, what's driving the big deficits is primarily aging population, Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid. I mean, that's what's driving it. But you're absolutely right, Jeff. The interest rates, as everyone knows that's listening, are beginning to go up. And kind of an inflection point is 3% on that 10-year treasury, that U.S. government treasury, which we're over now. So the government now has to service its debt at a higher interest rate level. And if that, and the Fed, and of course, Trump is blaming Chairman of the Fed. And I think there's a point there, because the government will reach a point, if the rates continue to go up, where they're going to have trouble servicing the debt.
So we have some issues here. I want to cover a final area that's a little bit more complex. What happened to corporate tax rates and people that had subchapter S corporations? Explain what's going on there, because it's more complex.
So what happened was, let me quickly give the background. They took the C-corporate. C-corps are not pass-throughs. They're separate tax entities. It was 35%, and they brought that down to 21%. So now you have a lot of business owners. Most business owners are S-corps, meaning profits from the business are taxed on your own personal form 1040 at maybe 37%. So these people are saying, well, wait a minute, I could be a C-corp and be taxed at 21. So the congressional committee said, all right, we're gonna come up with a new deduction. It's called the business pass-through deduction. It's a 20% deduction of, in essence, the profit that you as the owner of the S-Corp or partial owner of the S-Corp pick up on your own individual return. So if you and I had an S-Corp, Jim, and I picked up $100,000 of profit from our business, I'm going to get a $20,000 deduction that I did not get a year ago. And you know what? I think what's happening now, because I've been spending a lot of time, even this week, explaining this to business owners. I met with one yesterday. I think what's going to happen is a lot of these business owners are not understanding this, and they're paying into the government what's called estimated tax payments, and they're basing those tax payments on last year's. But this year's is probably going to be less because of the deduction. They're overpaying the government right now, which they should not do.
So with this deduction, does this equalize? Because, you know, a number of years ago, I used to have a C Corp switched over to an S. In fact, we were just talking to an individual and he's saying, you know, why not go to an S Corp? When they talk about the wealthy really were the beneficiaries of this, I could see that if I'm Bill Gates, if I'm Warren Buffett, if I'm Jeff Bezos, and my wealth is all in the stock I own, like Amazon, well, of course, if the tax rate goes from 35% to 21%, Jeff Bezos is taking home a lot more money. But, you know, as we just mentioned, Larry, lots of bucks living in Beverly Hills, that may not be the case.
Right. Well, it's interesting. If you do the raw math on this, this is the 20% deduction, Jim, that I just described, actually, for an S-Corp owner, brings their marginal rate down on the profits from the S-Corp from 37% to 29.6%. So it's not as good as 21%, which would be the C-Corp. But there are some downsides to being a C-Corp, too. But it's pretty good, and it's really going to help these business owners in terms of their cash flow. I mean, there are some large companies in this country that are S-Corps, very large companies that are S-Corps. And this impact is dramatic. And again, you know, the theory is, okay, these people are going to have more cash flow. They're going to pay less taxes, and they're going to put that cash flow back into their business.
So as we look at this, you know, in concluding here, individuals listening to this program, whether you're Larry Lots of Bucks or you're a couple, there are a number of things that you can do, but you have a window of opportunity to plan. Number one, if you're Larry Lots of Bucks or you have quite a bit of money, you might want to consider planning, doing some estate planning when we've got this $11 million exemption that exists today. That's number one. Number two, Chris, we talked about, you know, people that live in high tax states like California and others, they may be better off. And I'm seeing this in my own clientele. I would say, Chris, 25% of my clients who live in California that are retiring are leaving the state. And a number of reasons they're doing it. Number one, they can sell the expensive home here in California. They can go to Reno, Vegas, Texas, Arizona, and buy a house much cheaper, and they're usually going to pay cash for this. And secondly, they're going to eliminate the state income tax. Texas and Nevada are popular sites for my clients that are leaving, not only for the cost of living, but they get rid of the state taxes. So as a retiree, if you are living in a high tax state, and let's say you're in New York, you decide to move to Florida, you're really going to come out ahead if you're retired.
Yes, very much so, Jim. Cost of living goes down, housing price goes down, state income tax goes away.
Yeah. I mean, it is something that is altering. You know, I looked at a number of inputs into this. Is part of this aimed against blue states? Because if you are in a blue state, like I am, California is completely Democratic, it makes it more advantageous to move to a low-tax red state or no-tax state.
Yes, absolutely. You know, where I live in Massachusetts, but so our tax is about half that. It's a little less than half that, 13.3%. But still, we get a lot of folks that they're snowbirds, and they get down to Florida and they try it out. They get out of the winter in Boston, and they said, oh, we like it down here, and we can live down here in retirement a lot cheaper than in Boston because the state income taxes is zero versus Massachusetts is 5.5%.
Yeah, I you know, one of the things I'm seeing in my own practice, I have friends who are in the business. They're telling me the same thing, that this is creating almost like a migration wave with a lot of people retired. On the East Coast, we have clients who plan to move down to Florida to retire. Number one, it's warmer. Number two, the cost of living is so much cheaper. Number three, they pay no income taxes. So, I mean, it's a very strong incentive. So you could see a migration wave as a result of this tax bill.
Yeah, absolutely right. And we got another problem that you don't have yet here in California. Massachusetts has an estate tax. So if I die domiciled in Massachusetts, my estate is going to pay a tax to Massachusetts. I don't want that either.
No. You know, that's a thing that I covered here on the show, and I'm glad you brought that up. There are 16 states, I believe, in this country that have estate taxes. And a couple of them, Chris, you probably know the ones. Is it New Jersey or Maryland that has an estate tax and an inheritance tax? So they not only get your estate, but they also tax your heirs as well.
Yeah, that's right. And then Connecticut has an estate tax and a gift tax. That's the only state in the country that does both, the state gift.
Well, I tell you, this is, once again, a window of opportunity to plan here in the next couple of years. And I'm glad, Chris, you're going to join us for our annual Strategy and Wealth Preservation Conference next Saturday in San Diego. So I look forward to meeting you in person and listening to your presentation. Well, Chris, thanks so much.
Thanks, Jim, very much.
You betcha. Bye-bye.
The Financial Sense News Hour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the News Hour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of the Financial Sense staff and do not take into account listener suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense News Hour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies mentioned in Financial Sense or arising out of the use of any material on the News Hour. Please be advised that you invest at your own risk.